In this episode of Tax Enough Already, we asked a good friend and colleague of ours, Otto Rabe, to give us some insight into two profoundly relevant topics in the tax, accounting, and high finance space. So allow me to give you a quick background on Otto before we jump into the episode. Otto is a Swiss-American born in Los Angeles, California, and Otto entered his professional life as a member of the armed forces. He served in the Navy for 6 years as a rescue swimmer and the Army for 15 years as a helicopter pilot and unit commander. During his tenure in the armed forces, he completed a bachelor's degree in workforce education at Southern Illinois University and a master's of business administration at St. Martin's University in Olympia, Washington, and attended the 1L section of Concord Law. Following his career in the armed forces, Otto served as a civil service executive in the Department of the Army as a flight and ground safety program manager. He managed all flight and flight process and practice as it applied to commercial and military aviation at Fort Lewis, Washington, and led the Army's airport audit team responsible for auditing aviation practice at Army airports worldwide. From 2004 to 2009, Otto and his wife, Shyla, owned and operated Naturally LLC, an organic grocery store in Chehalis, Washington. Otto was responsible for all accounting and finance-related tasks, as well as reporting activities and any tax-related issues. It was this experience that piqued his interest in accounting. In 2008, Otto was invited to teach at Lower Columbia College in Longview, Washington, where he remained on staff as an adjunct instructor from 2008 until 2012, when he was invited to a tenured full-time position at Centralia College. As a tenure-backed faculty professor at Centralia College, Otto taught subjects including tax, finance, business, and accounting. Otto also teaches as an adjunct in the graduate accounting program at St. Martin's University. Currently assigned as the director for Mountain View CPAs, a business in which he co-founded and is a shareholder, the firm is a small regional multi-office firm that offers accounting, tax, and audit services to the general public. Otto lives in Chehalis and is married to the former Shyla Hansen, and has 3 adult children and 9 grandchildren. So clearly, there is no one we believe to be more qualified to discuss the two topics in this episode. The first topic being tax and accounting strategy, known in the accounting world as the 2/7 rule. The 2/7 rule is not a new concept or strategy, but is one we believe to be underutilized. It's ideal for small businesses that are normally structured as an S-corp or an LLC taxed as an S-corp. That may be what we call top-heavy, meaning most of the individuals on payroll would be the owners, or it might be a family-run small business. Otto gives the example of an LLC taxed as an S-corp that is run by a husband and a wife, and shows us how he significantly reduces their tax burden by using this strategy. The other topic Otto discusses is the new regulation that was passed this year, which is the Beneficial Ownership Information Reporting Rule, or sometimes referred to as the BOI Reporting Requirements. This is a new regulation in 2024 that requires the owners of business entities to provide new or additional information for the business entities they own to FinCEN. If you're unfamiliar with FinCEN, it is the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, a division of the U.S. Treasury. And lastly, for anyone listening to this in its podcast format, there are some visuals that Otto shares, so if you'd like to see the video version, you can view it on our website, our YouTube page, or our Rumble page.
So I've got two subjects to discuss, and this is how we're going to go about it. So we've got about 30 minutes or so. So I'm going to spend about 10 minutes on each subject. And after orienting you to the subject matter, I'll answer questions as best I can.
Sounds good.
This particular Excel spreadsheet that you're looking at is a worksheet. And, you know, for those of you that may or may not be aware of this, accountants oftentimes rely on this wonderful device called Excel to perform quantitative analysis. And I live in this thing. So I was Google searching S-Corp issues, and I found this funny little thing that said 2/7 rule. And it's really quite interesting. I'm thinking to myself, what the heck is it? And I looked it up, and essentially it's a math problem that allows certain S-Corp entities to benefit from the manipulation of reasonable compensation in their S-corps. And funny enough, the outcome for the right S-corps is almost always higher payroll. Now, for those of you that are not aware of this, the whole point of S-corps in the most case is to reduce a client's exposure to SC tax. And just to give a little bit more definition on that, most Schedule C small companies, all of their net earnings are subject to federal income tax, Social Security, and Medicare. And for a lot of them, they really get heartbroken by that at the end of the day when they realize that they're paying 20% on their federal income tax on their profit and 15.3% Social Security Medicare because they're responsible for both the employer portion and the employee portion. So people get really angsty about that and have been for quite some time. And Congress's answer to this was approving this subchapter S-corps entity that most people refer to as an S-corps. To add to that, an S-corps isn't really an entity, it's a tax election. So you can't go to any Secretary of State in any state and sign up to be an S-corps. You have to actually file an IRS Form 2553 to make an election for your entity to be treated like an S-corp. So an S-corp could be an LLC, it could be a partnership that made a corporation election, it could be a corporation. So any of those entities can be an S-corp, and many of them do. It's a really good idea because now you can divide your profit into two pieces. One piece, reasonable compensation, which is subject to W-2 self-employment tax, Social Security, Medicare. And another piece called owner distribution, which is, or an operating distribution, which is only subject to income tax. So you can imagine the bigger the numbers are, the happier you are about that. So most people say when they do an S-corp, their first response is, how low can I make my payroll go? That's the first thing they want to do is they want to make this payroll go way, way down, all the way down. And the reason they want to do that is because they know they're going to pay Social Security, Medicare, tax on that, right? Well, contrary to that, it's counterintuitive that when you use the 2/7 rule, this math problem I'm telling you about, you're actually going to end up paying less tax, which is the goal of all good tax accountants, is to put their client in a position where they're paying the absolute bottom level amount of tax, which is the way they're obligated to pay. So this is a mathematically functional process to reduce taxation at the back end, reporting end, for a particular client. So this particular client, this is a real case you're looking at. So I'll just kind of give you, I'll orient you to it. So this is what they were doing. Notice they were paying, he paid himself $50,000 in wages. Now, it's important to know that he was a single owner of this S-corp and the only employee. So this 2/7 rule generally only applies to those types of entities, engineers, lawyers, small firm, CPAs, doctors, they're the prime candidate for this 2/7 rule.
So it sounds like a small business that might be that's either top heavy or family owned. So the
Yes,
owners or
that's right.
shareholders are okay.
Yep, primary candidate. So these are the ones. And they are going to freak out because the first thing I did was said, hey, dude, I'm going to change your payroll from $50,000 to $160,000. And he was like, no, you are not. I'm like, yes, I am. I am going to change your payroll, dude. I said, look at this. I'll send this to you. So I sent him this and I said, listen, what we're doing is we're playing with the threshold limits for reasonable compensation, Social Security, and qualified business income deduction. And we are basically playing around with these numbers in such a way that we're maximizing qualified business income deduction. And your qualified business income deduction has a threshold limit as it applies to wages. And so if we choose the right numbers, you end up having less tax. So here's what his initial net income after tax was. And here's what his, after we changed his payroll to 50,000 to 159,000, $10,673 less in tax.
So I just want to clarify with this then. So you were able to increase his payroll while simultaneously in decreasing
His tax.
his ta and th those taxes are payroll taxes and income taxes, or
All
just
tax.
payroll? Okay.
All tax. Yeah. So that's net sum gain or loss on tax. So, and here is, you can see the equation right here. See the 2/7? This right here kind of shows you this process. It's ridiculous. And I'll pull this over. You can actually, I'll pull a tab over here so you can Google it and see it for yourself. Payroll. And it usually comes right up. There you go. See it? To determine the optimal amount of wages to pay, you can use the 2/7 rule. Wages paid should equal 2/7 of business income. If your business has a net income of $1 million before wages paid, the optimal wage would be $285,714. So that maximizes the QBI deduction. To put this in proper context for you finance guys, I apologize for this because the most amount of value you get out of this is asking if their CPA knows about the 2/7 rule. So I don't know that there's some depth and value for you here on this, but I do know for you CPA guys, if you have clients that fit this, they are going to call all of their friends the minute you tell them this. And so if you
Well,
want new clients, you're going to get a bucket.
I mean, I would say that any point in time that we're helping our clients pay less in taxes, well, one, we're
Right.
helping them fulfill their moral and patriotic duty, right? That's the business
Right.
motto. I'm gonna plug
That's right.
it.
Yeah.
But no, there's definitely a benefit to that. And if we're freeing up tax money, I'm assuming we're freeing up dollars that could potentially be used for something else.
Right. Yeah, like so I tell my clients, I said, listen, if you come in here and tell me you don't want to pay any tax, I got nothing for you. I said, tax is what we use to maintain this great nation, which I've spilled blood for. And if you're not going to pay tax, you can just leave my office. On the other hand, I would be ashamed of myself if you paid one dime more than you absolutely have to.
Forget the Supreme Court judge that basically stated that it's the obligation of every American to take full advantage of the tax code.
Yeah, it is. That's absolutely probably Oliver Wendell Holmes, but that's absolutely right. He's 100% right. I mean, like, it's silly not to maximize the rule structure in such a way that you benefit. If it's a rule and it's real, you should follow it, especially if it ends up in you paying less tax. And the cool thing is, the smart people follow the rules and pay less tax, and the dumb people cheat. And that's really the truth. So, like, I mean, that's really the bottom line. So, my goal is just to be smart in the way I serve my clients. And, we've gone from, I don't know, about 450,000 and 218 to just shy of 3 million. So I'm feeling pretty good about our growth rate. I know what we do works. It's a pretty simple process. Do the best damn job you can. Charge a reasonable price. I mean, honestly, what it comes down to for us, do your best job, charge a reasonable price, treat your clients like their family, and it works. Next thing that Dan asked me to talk about was this BOIR, the beneficial owner interest reporting. And so I want to point out before we go down this road that I'm not a super expert on this. It started out with absolute sheer terror. Because all of a sudden we realized that what happened was the D Department of Labor basically pushed the professional enforcement mechanism for this off on us. Because
Well, I want to point out, Otto, that there's not enough time for anybody to be an expert on this, right?
yeah,
So,
right.
because this is
Yeah.
brand spanking new,
Yeah.
but I do want to make sure that we're able to provide resources to people that I've seen way too many videos, quick little 60-second videos on social media that's like, here's what's happening, and there seem to be fear-mongering videos,
Of
or
course.
and I want to make sure that we just give people the best information possible.
So my firm, we decided to get in front of this. We realized that all 2,500, it's more than that, I think now, but 2,500 of our tax clients, there's about a third of them, they're going to ask us to perform this report for them. So we got nervous about that. We're like, oh crap, what, how do we do this? Well, for those of you that don't know, CPAs have to be engaged. So if you have a license and you work in a state as a CPA, you can't do work without being engaged by the client. So also for us, our practice is to send our clients letters before tax season. So I'll give you an excerpt of our tax season letter. So this is what we sent to our clients. Well, we're going to send it. We usually send this out in 0 week. So we have a letter we send out to all 2,500 of our clients. Hardly any of them read it, but we send it out anyways. And this essentially is what we sent them. We said, hey, check it out. There's a new Corporate Transparency Act. You got to file a report. You probably don't want to do it. You're going to ask us to do it, and we get that. So here's who has to do it and the timelines for when they have to do it. So if you notice here, this says formed or registered on or after January 2024 must file the BOIR within 30 days of formation, or in the case of a 2024 entity, 90 days. And then in addition to that, a lot of people don't really have their head around this, but there are some significant complexities in this report that are not really well thought out. One of those is there's a stated requirement to redo the report anytime significant change happens. And it has even gotten to the point where we were arguing whether or not significant changes equals you got a new driver's license. So you actually have, yeah, it's crazy because the language kind of suggests that any change, you get married, you get divorced, you get a new driver's license, you know, new way to establish your identity, you change your address, you are required within 30 days, 90 days in 2024 to update, refile that BOIR. So there are some squishy elements of this process thus far. And that's why
Well,
I'm kind of excited to see what that looks like over the course of the year, because a lot of people are going to complain. A lot of people are not going to do it. It's going to force them to have to take people to court. And then we're going to see what the court has to say about this, which is the general process for all law. So, anyways,
real quick, I do want to point out if anybody is considering doing this themselves or any type of new formation or anything along those lines. I highly, highly recommend that you reach out to an expert to do so. I've been in financial services for over a decade, and not to boast here, I even have a graduate degree. And when I first looked at forming a new entity, I started going through the process, and I said, you know what? I'm gonna call Ron and Otto
yeah, I do the
because,
same thing with legal stuff. I got,
yeah.
honestly, I mean, I've been to law school. When I know it's lawyering work, I call Brian. I'm like, Brian, dude, I'm sending a guy over to you.
Yeah, well, there's two important reasons to do that is one, you all are much less likely to mess it up than I am. Two, if I mess it up, there's nobody I can hold accountable. If you pay an expert to do it and they mess it up, they can be held accountable.
You
So
want somebody to blame other than yourself.
yeah, and it's very easy to misdot a Q or miscross an I, right? Or to check the wrong box. So it's worth
Otto,
hiring an expert.
what rate will you be charging your clients to do this for them?
So we decided for BOI, this is always a challenge. So I'll just tell you my rates. We don't live near each other, so it doesn't matter. But for bookkeeping services in this area, I'm at market, and market is $75 per hour. For tax services, all tax-related services, I charge $175 per hour. If I'm performing CPA-level services as prescribed by the State Board of Accountancy, I charge $275 per hour. So I charge per hour based on the service I'm providing. So we decided that in this case, we have a lot of mom and pops. They're poor, they're broke. So we're going to charge a base fee of $75 for the report. And if it takes more than 1 hour, it's obviously a bigger company. So we're going to do what we call time and task. That means we're going to charge $75 per hour or fraction of an hour. So that's essentially, we've decided our bookkeeper and staff accountants can do this work as well, and we've trained them how to do it. So anyways, I want to show you this real quick. This is a pretty good guide. We got this from
Yeah.
FinCEN. I don't know if you've seen this.
I was told it was available. I haven't gotten it yet, but
Yeah,
yeah.
it's a pretty good guide.
Right.
I would recommend it. There's that. We made an engagement, a little engagement letter for this. It's just kind of a, pull it up. It's like a here, sign here sort of thing, so we don't get in trouble with BOA. So this is the engagement letter. Said, hey, we're gonna prepare and file your initial BOI report. We also said, hey, if you do want us to do this, here's the stuff we need from you. So when they get this little package, it's got the engagement letter, it's got the letter explaining BOI, it's got the, hey, this is the data we need from you to complete this report. And so you can see that we've kind of come down to the fact that if they're registered with the Washington State Secretary of State as an entity, they have to do BOI, unless they're publicly traded. So that's kind of the easy answer for BOI. And then we ask them for this information, address information, any state, tribal, or jurisdictional formation, if there's any foreign reporting company issue, their TIN. And if you don't know this, TIN is a big number, is a big word. And inside of TIN is FIN, EIN, ITIN, Social Security. They're all TINs, tax identification numbers. And then, of course, their legal name, date of birth, current address, unique identifying number from passport, driver's license, whatever, image of the document. And we use Citrix ShareFile. So most of our clients that are digitally savvy have a ShareFile portal, and they can drop all this junk in there, and we just do the work. So there's that.
So, Otto, let me interrupt you there. You want a
Sure.
copy of their driver's license, but you don't want a copy of their TIN or certificate of formation?
So I think we're asking for both, for all of that.
Okay.
Yeah, we're asking for all of that in copy form.
Got it. Okay.
So, and we use File Cabinet as our repository, and we have a 7 year threshold for that stuff, so everything stays in File Cabinet. And then we trained slash discussed BOI with our operators. And this is the SOP we've kind of given them. Like for us, this really applies to our system. But what we realized is we needed to provide some guidance to our staff on how to get at this work, right? So the first thing is, how does our clients know that they need this? Well, we're sending the, if they're a tax client, they're going to get it in their organizer. They're going to get a client letter in their organizer, the one I showed you, they're going to get that. If they're ANA clients, business bookkeeping clients, then their staff accountant is going to provide them with this letter, an email. They're going to say, hey, Bob, you might want to pay attention to this. I'm sending it to you. It'll be over about 5 minutes. Our staff know that they need to perform this because if the client marks yes on this initial file report that says, do you want us to do this? Then we know that they want us to do that. So we issue the engagement letter, we get them to sign it, we go through the process. And if it's a tax client, the support staff asks them at the front desk. They say, hey, you heard about this BOI stuff. Do you want us to do this? Yes or no? And then they mark yes, and we continue down the road. And then how we manage it, like for you guys who don't necessarily do this work, we have red folder tax rep work, tax resolution work. We call it red folder work. So all of our red folder work gets tracked by a number, managed by leadership, and assigned to staff accountants for work. All of our tax returns get the same thing. They get a white folder, tracker number, assigned by name, and they do work. And now BOI is getting a yellow folder. So we're yellow foldering all the BOI clients. So yeah, right. It's just like a pain in the ass. But we literally get like it's on our four offices, it's like stand sometimes it's some days it's standing room only in those foyers. So we have so many people going through here. I am scared to death about the custody concerns that comes with client information. And making sure that we get the product through the pipeline to production, that we have to have a system. And so essentially this part is how we get it out.
Otto, I've also heard that when this is being done, you have to upload an operating agreement. Is that correct, or do you know?
Also, we can look really quick and see if you're required. I don't see that. The only thing I see you have to attach is the identifying document.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like well, is this and this is all business entities, or is it just pass-through entities, or?
It's any business entity registered to do business with the Secretary of State.
Okay. So S corps, LLCs, C corps.
Limited, yeah, LLCs, LLPs, C corporations. Remember, S corp is not an entity. So an S
Yeah,
corp is always something else, an LLC or a C
it's taxed
corporation
as
or
an entity.
something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So in a nutshell then, if anybody has a business that's registered with the state, they're going to need to fill out this new form. They need to reach out to their professional,
Yeah.
which if they're watching this, that'll be you or Ron,
Yeah, I'm
obviously.
100% sure this whole nutshell has fallen squarely on the shoulders of the practicing CPA professionals. I'm 100% sure that's the thing that kind of annoys me because it just came out of the blue.
Agreed.
Like I was like I was completely flabbergasted when they put this out. I'm like, dude, like we have like thousands of clients. Like they're gonna all come to me and say, "What the hell do I do? Can you do this for me? Because I don't want to do it."
So what I got at my annual federal tax update given by the New Jersey State Society of CPAs, one of the gentlemen who was speaking at that was suggesting that we might not even want to do this because this could be construed as legal work. So as long as you dot your I's and cross your T's correctly, you should be fine. But there's always that but. So I will be in touch with my malpractice insurance company and get their take on it. And yes, of course, I would have an engagement letter. And of course, I would have SOPs and things like that. I haven't even gotten there yet, to be really honest with you. I mean, it's March freaking 12th. I've got other things on my plate. You have the benefit of having three partners and 32 staff. God bless you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know it's
God
a
bless you. And
I mean
going
if,
from 450 to 3 million in 5 years, wow. You should be patting yourself on the back considering you're the CEO, you're driving that bus. That is
dude,
freaking fantastic, Otto.
it
I mean,
has it, thank you for the compliment, but
that is freaking beautiful.
it's painful.
Well, I
I
don't doubt that.
have to
I'm sure the growth in that, the pains, growth pains in that were insane. I'm
Yeah.
saying to myself, why isn't this guy on the East Coast? I'd join forces with him. But you
Yeah,
know, hey,
I appreciate that.
you know.
Okay, so here's our take on this in terms of the legal perspective. Like for CPAs, all of us with licensure, Circular 230 agents, we have permission to practice before the IRS bar. The IRS is a sub-entity under the Department of Treasury, which is part of the executive branch of government. So the Department of Labor and FinCEN are also connected to the executive branch of government. So our take on this is We already do legal work, if you think about this. As a CPA, when you're representing a client and re performing reporting to the federal government, whether it be single audit to ACH or tax return to IRS, are performing a form of legal work at the federal level, which you have licensure to perform. So, FinCEN has not required any licensure for this, which is why when I said earlier, I thought this process was a little bit uninformed because it is really difficult to standardize the responses you're going to get when you're not saying this is the right person you need to go see.
Well, and as you said, and it's going to be insane for the next year, two or three. And 3 years from now, when people are getting sued because it wasn't done correctly,
Right.
then we'll know who should be doing
Yeah,
it.
right. That's going to be a nut roll. So we're going to watch and see.
Exactly. Exactly.
But
So.
I think like I'm not going to let my clients down. Like these folk are family. I see them in Safeway, every damn week. So the bottom line
Okay.
is I know they're going to come to me. They're also going to come to the lawyers. And
Right.
guess what? The lawyers are going to send them to me.
Okay.
So I know that's what's going to happen. I do
Okay.
half their damn tax returns, so they're going to send those guys straight to my office.
Fair
So,
enough.
Wendy and I and Jason and John, we just decided it was smarter to get in front of this and be prepared to execute rather than just let it, avalanche on top of us.
So a big thanks to Otto and his team for sharing that. If you have any questions over this or are interested in learning more about it, we're including our contact information, our website information, and Otto's contact and website information below. And as always, any like, share, follow, comment, any type of interaction with this video is a phenomenal and free way to support a veteran-owned and operated business.
This presentation and all material within it are for informational purposes only and does not provide tax, legal, accounting, or financial advice. Any view and or opinions expressed by speakers are not representative of Finance for Thought, FFT, Mountain View CPAs, their affiliates, or affiliated brands. Please consult your own tax, legal, or accounting professional before making any decisions.